Does God have any priests today in the world? Who are priests, and how does one become a priest? Today we take up this fascinating subject of the priesthood. Now, various heathen religions have had priesthoods. There have been men that have been set apart to contact God, to have relations with God, and to some way make the people they represented right with God. So there have been all sorts of priesthoods in connection with the religions of the world. And Judaism had its priesthood too. As we go back into the Old Testament and we read the account of Aaron and his sons being set aside in the book of Exodus, we read there of how these men were put aside in a very special way to represent the people to God and then to pronounce forgiveness upon the people. They had a very special relationship to God, set apart from the rest of the people. Now for today, the 20th century, this day in which we're living, what is the teaching concerning the priesthood? Should there be one? What is the New Testament teaching on this subject? Now let me read, first of all, two verses, or rather three verses, in 1 Peter 2. First of all, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here he says to these that he is writing to, Peter's writing to, he says, you are a holy priesthood. You Christians to whom I'm writing, you are a priesthood. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, this is 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And he's speaking here to Christians, not a particular class taken from among Christians, but Christians as a whole. He says you're a holy priesthood, and he says you're a royal priesthood in verse 9. And we'll notice a little bit later that there is a distinction between these two concepts, these two ideas. Who are priests then today? And we say on the authority of the Bible that all true believers are priests. Now maybe this is a foreign concept to you, and you may think, well, isn't this saying too much? Isn't it true that out of Christians, perhaps there should be a certain class of people, class of men set aside that are priests, but to say that all Christians are priests isn't this too much? But let me read to you also in Revelation 1, and we read beginning in verse 5, unto him that loves us and loosed us from our sins by his blood, and he made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And here he speaks of these who are priests. He says that they've been loosed from their sins by his blood. How do you become a priest? Who is a priest? All those who have been loosed, and I think this is the better translation, rather than washed, loosed from their sins. Loosed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. All who have accepted him as Lord and Savior and are cleansed from sin are priests. And so it says here, he made us, that is Christians, to be a kingdom, to be priests unto God and his God and Father. And so, Christian friend, if you're listening to today, I hope you realize that you are a priest. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a priest to God. How does this take place? And I'd like to go back now into the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 29, and we read here of the institution of the priesthood in Israel. And there's some interesting things here that I think are an example that symbolize for us some of the things that happen to us today, we who accept the Lord Jesus and become priests today to God. You know, this concept that all Christians are priests is foreign to many. I remember being in a home one evening, visiting a family, and a couple of other men came in to visit. And they were saying concerning me, why, you don't belong to the New Testament church. You don't have a priesthood. And I said, why, we do too have a priesthood. And I said, I am one. This rather shocked them. But then I pointed out to them some of these scriptures that very plainly say that those who are loosed from their sins, who have been accepted the Lord Jesus, are a priesthood to God. Now, in Exodus 29, verse 4, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tent of meeting, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with a skillfully woven band of the ephod. Verse 7, then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Verse 10, and thou shalt bring the bullock before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord at the door of the tent of meeting. Now, in this act of consecration of the priesthood, there were several things that took place, and I want to just notice these as having to take place, I believe, in our experience if we're going to be a priest for God. Blood must be shed. Aaron and his sons stood there with their hands on the head of this young bull, and they were saying as they did so, we are identifying ourselves with this bull. This bull is going to die. It's going to die because we deserve to die. It's taking our place. And the bull was killed, and the blood ran out on the altar. It was dying for Aaron and his sons. It was picturing the fact that here, because of sin, they deserved judgment and deserved death and deserved, really, as far as God was concerned, eternal separation, eternal judgment, eternal damnation. But here, the animal was dying in their stead. And of course, we know this is just a picture, a type, as it's often spoken of the death of the Lord Jesus and the vital necessity of that death if any of us are ever going to be right with God. There is no forgiveness. There is no remission of sin. There is no being right with God without the shedding of blood. And the Lord Jesus shed his blood on the cross in order that our sins might be taken care of, that we might be right with God. And so blood is shed. This is vital to their being consecrated as priests. And you will never be right with God. You will never be able to help other people come to God. You will never be able to function as a priest of God until your sin is taken care of first of all. And then there was this matter of there being washed. There was water. There was cleansing. The instruction was, you shall take Aaron and his sons to the door of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. And so here Aaron and his sons are thoroughly washed, cleansed. And this pictures the fact that, naturally speaking, we're sinners, but we need cleansing from sin. There must be this cleansing from sin. God cannot stand defilement. God cannot stand sin. He must judge sin. It must be put away. And so here they are washed completely. And they stand before God clean. Now in Ephesians 5, there's a verse that speaks of the washing of laver in the Word. Picturing here the Word of God as this which God uses to cleanse us from sin. And this too is vital for the Christian. There must be repentance. There must be a turning from sin. There must be this cleansing that the Word of God brings for the believer. This takes place too in the beginning of salvation. And then there was this anointing with oil. Oil was poured upon Aaron, and it ran down over his shoulders. And this is a picture, of course, of the endowment with power. And we think of the fact that as Christians, every believer is anointed with the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, we read in Romans 8:9. When I accepted the Lord Jesus, God gave me his Holy Spirit. I was anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. So these three things, blood, water, oil, were a part of the consecration of the priest, and they're a part today of the work of God in setting apart Christians for the work of priesthood. And this takes place for every person as he accepts the Lord Jesus, as he turns to him, his sins are taken care of, he's cleansed from sin, he receives the Holy Spirit, he's made a priest of God. Now let's think of the work of a priest. What was a priest to do? Remember we mentioned here that the priesthood was spoken of first of all as a holy priest, but then as a royal priesthood. And I think we could say this would point out to us the two spheres, the two aspects of the priest's work. First of all, he faced God for the people. And then he came back from the presence of God to face the people and to give to them this message from God, a message of pardon and to give teaching. Now, briefly, let's notice these two ministries. The priest in the Old Testament days offered blood. He offered a sacrifice. We know this has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. There is no blood, there is no offering today. We offer no blood sacrifice. We, as we have the Lord's Supper, remember his death, but it is not a blood offering. We remember the perfect finished work of the Lord Jesus. We, as we come to God, can praise him. We can worship him. And the scripture speaks in Hebrews 13 of this sacrifice of praise. In verse 15, through him then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of lips which may confess unto his name. As we praise him, as we give thanks to him, as we pray, we are functioning as priests. The sacrifice, he says here, of praise to God continually. And so the Christian functions as a priest in this way. And then, of course, he should give himself to the Lord. The best sacrifice, the most wonderful of all, is when he gives himself to the Lord, giving his body, giving his life, giving his all to God. Then he turns to man, and he turns with a ministry of reconciliation. He comes with a message of pardon. If you turn to the Savior, you can be saved. This was his work as a priest. I wish we had more time to look at some of these scriptures. He, as he comes with the word of God, because the priest was to keep. In a book of Leviticus, he emphasizes this fact in Leviticus 10 and verse 11, the priest was to teach, was to bring the message of God to the people. This is our work today as a Christian, as a priest. You have this ministry of reconciliation, bringing God's word before the souls of men and women. May the Lord help us to do this.